Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that were.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fast. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Wednesdays with M, the queen.
What's up, world? It's your girl, M, the queen, also known as your Carolina Peach, joining you on another Emphatic Wednesday with yours truly, your one and only host, me, M, the queen, for she is I and I am her. Y'all, for the next 2 hours, we're going to be playing unsigned, underground music, nothing but the best. And we support our local come up, and we want you to do the same thing. Our slogan here at Lawless, support your local come up. You are tuned into the Emphatic Show on lawlessradio.com. Y'all, is so much going on right now. Man, we're going to get into that. But I got to let y'all know, I have a wonderful, wonderful special guest, blues extraordinaire from my home in North Carolina, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins, Jr. Y'all, he just brought me 3 joints through. I mean, some nice, good home, down-home blues. And I got to admit, y'all, I'm not fond of a whole lot of, you know, down-home blues, I'm telling you. I mean, I sang enough of that when I sang backup, you know, for Bobby Hinton in the Shades of Blue. But, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with it. You know, I love me a little Lattimore. Love me a little Johnny Taylor. Houston, some Cocoa. You know, I listen to some of it, but some of it just too down home that you just, you know, it's almost like it's depressing, and you know, all you think about is somebody getting up drunk, you know, dancing around, and you know, don't even know what world they're in. That's what I tend to think about when I listen to down home music or down home blues. But no, this is different. I mean, he got some hot joints that I really, really want y'all to listen to, and I fell in love with his music when I first heard it. So yeah, I know you're gonna fall in love with it too. But y'all, whew, man, I hate to do it to y'all. I mean, you know, this is a fun show, but at the same token, M the Queen keeps it all the way real and all the way live. Y'all, I cannot do this show without talking about the violence that's going on in this nation, the violence that's going on in this one particular area, in this one state, this one town, this one county in Missouri. This little suburb, I've never heard of this suburb called Ferguson, right outside of St. Louis. All of a sudden, it's making headlines. It's like, it's almost like it's a major city right now. I mean, if you don't know what's going on right now, you've been living under a rock, plain and simple. All this stemmed from a shooting, another police shooting with this dude, Mike Brown. I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because I don't know the whole story. I'm getting conflicting stories, and I don't know what the hell to believe. So I'm one of those people, M the Queen admits when she don't know a whole lot about what's going on and she can't get a real story or the true facts, I'm not going to say too much, only my take on it, but that's all I can do. I can't really sit up here and say for a matter of fact that this is what happened and this is not what happened. So I can just go by, you know, sensationalism and go by the news, go by CNN, go by, you know, the media outlets, and that's just about the best I can do. I mean, right now, this town is going, I mean, it's like the L.A. riots. They're rioting in this town. This is a little country town. I'm like, what the hell? They're looting. They're breaking into stores. I mean, you know, it's gotten so bad that the police has issued a curfew in this town where you have to be in a certain time. You know, it's crazy. I mean, it's really crazy. But y'all, what I'm talking about, if you don't know, like I said, you've been living up under a rock, and I'm here to enlighten you. Young 18-year-old black man or black male, Michael Brown, and a friend, you know, was walking down the street. I mean, they said somewhere around 12:01. I'm looking at the timeline right now. 12:01, they were walking down the street, and the police stopped alongside of them and tell them to get up on the sidewalk. Now, why that happened, I don't know. I didn't know that you couldn't walk in the street when there's no cars coming. I don't know. I know a lot about the law, but some things I just don't know. That's not really logical to me, but, hey, this is a whole other state. I mean, in Atlanta, people walk in the streets all day long. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. So the police basically, you know, tell them to, you know, he didn't even say get on the sidewalk. He says get the F on the sidewalk from what I've read. So, you know, he cursed at him. He disrespected the two dudes from what I'm reading. I'm not saying this is tried and true. I'm going by what I'm reading, what I've been hearing. And so basically it says 12:01 p.m., the officer encounters Michael Brown and a friend as they walk down a street. Brown is shot as a result of the encounter. Now, basically, now that's just a summary right there. But basically what's supposed to have happened was when, you know, the police, you know, asked them to get on the curb, I mean, on the sidewalk, they're like, man, we're almost at our destination. We got to, I guess they had to cross the street. Police didn't like the answer. You know, and I have air quotes, like I said, supposedly he didn't like the answer. And he decided he wants to, you know how police will box you in, you know, and I've actually seen it happen before. I've actually seen it happen more than once where the police actually box you in, get it right in front of you, and you almost hit them, you know, whether you're walking or in another vehicle. So he boxed them in and, you know, was saying things, you know, to them. And supposedly, I guess Mr. Brown said some words back to the police, and the police didn't like what he said. And so, but the police got so close to these two guys that when he opened his squad door, it hit them. It just basically hit them, and it was supposedly, and that's conflicting to me too, because if he opened the door, then why is he pulling Michael Brown through the window? I don't know. I don't quite get that. Unless he opened the door on him, closed the door back, I don't know. But I'm just going by what was said here. in other places. So he pulls Michael Brown through the window, and basically they kind of like have a tug of war with his head. That's what the friend said. That's what he told the police. That was his account to the story. And so basically he gets away from the police, and from a witness, a young female, said it looked like they were in a tug of war. Is what she said. No, I'm sorry. She didn't say tug of war. She said it looked like they were arm wrestling. So I'm just trying to picture this. If it looks like they were arm wrestling, I can picture dude had his arm up and the police had his head, and he's trying to get his head out of the police's choke hold or whatever kind of hold he had on him. But then the police is saying that I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. They're saying that Mike Brown supposedly was reaching for the officer's gun, but his friend said something totally different, that he was not reaching for the gun. He was just trying to, free himself so he can get away. And finally he does, free himself, and they do run. And supposedly the police ran behind them, and, he started shooting. With no warnings, he just started shooting and struck Michael Brown. And then he shot him again. And so Michael Brown turned around from what was said and what the media is saying. He turned around and he shot him like six more times or something. I know it was six shots in all, so maybe it was four more times. And he died on the spot. So he even had his hands in the air from what witnesses said. Eyewitnesses said he had his hands in the air, as in, please don't shoot me. And he said, man, don't shoot. I got my hands up. And he shot him four more times. And this is after he threatened to kill him anyway. So if this was the true account, if this is really what happened, dude didn't stand a chance in the first place. Now, this is supposed to have been because of Mike Brown supposedly had gone to a store just a few minutes before that even happened and was supposed to have stolen $5 worth of cigars. So I don't know. I don't even know what to make of it. It just, I don't even want to have to talk about something like this again, because I had a show about police brutality just, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month at the most, with the Eric Garner case, and that was sad enough. And I did a, and I'm don't think I'm being biased or hypocritical or even contradictory. I'm not giving a moment of silence to Mike Brown, because I really don't know what happened. At least with Eric Garner, we do know more what happened, and it was almost black and white. There's no gray area with this situation. But here, I'm still confused. But supposedly, and the thing is, if he did do it, the officer wasn't even after him about being a suspect in this store robbery. He was just messing with him. I mean, because he was walking on the street and not on the sidewalk. But to shoot him four more times as he has his hand up in the air, and then it was, statements saying that he shot him from the back as he was running, but then the autopsy came back saying that there was no shots from the back. So, like I said, M. the Queen is at a loss for this one. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not going to pretend to know what to make of it, and it's just a really sad situation. And someone, once again, a young black man lost his life. For what, I don't know. I can't honestly sit here and say that. And I'm sad, regardless of what happened, whether he robbed a store and stole $5 worth of cigars or no, it's still a bad situation. I can't fathom that happening because, I just can't fathom it. People can easily say, he deserved it, because he was doing something he had no business. You know how people think when you do wrong, okay, and then something turn around and hit, happen to you, like, that's just like someone go, shoot someone, and then, or even, I won't even go to that extreme, but someone go rob a liquor store and then turn around 2-3 minutes later as they leaving the liquor store where they just robbed and get hit by a bus. Same scenario, but I don't look at it that way, and I refuse to look at it that way. I want to really believe that the police had a good reason to shoot him, but at the same token, I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. And just like a buddy of mine on Facebook, Trey Ace, shout out to Trey Ace, he's singer and songwriter extraordinaire. He said something on Facebook yesterday that made a lot of sense. You know, I liked in the comment, and I think I may even, you know, commented on the status. You know, he said, you know, he's not biased about the situation because, you know, he's been stopped plenty of times, but he was never harassed by a cop. You know, I've been stopped by cops and stuff. Now, I have been harassed one time out in the country by myself at 1 o'clock in the morning, but, I mean, it wasn't harassed to the point where it was physical force, but it was more or less this officer took my purse and, you know, just shook everything out of it, just right there in the seat on the passenger side. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, ma'am, I have to make sure that you don't have weapons. And then he goes to my glove compartment, he sees a box cutter. I said, well, sir, you know, I have this box cutter because I'm out here by myself at night. In situations like this, or, you know, I'm driving at night, 1 o'clock on highway, anyone knows, if you're listening, if you know the Triangle area and you know, off of 85 or the 15501 or 15, and what's the highway, 15 and 50 that runs together going through, well, coming from Raleigh, that would be 50 going to through Creedmoor onto Oxford, you know, that's by 85. And that's going northbound. You know, it's really dark out there. I mean, it's dark going through the town of Oxford, and it's pretty scary. So that's pretty much what happened to me. But he didn't use any force or anything like that. But he was 6'6", so he was very intimidating. So, I mean, but I've never had anyone just throw me on the ground or anything like that. And you know, this was what my buddy said. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anywhere where he was arguing with the police officer or. I didn't see anything like that, but, I mean, obviously something is amiss for the people to be in an uproar. I mean, something must have happened, and then there's other cops saying, you know, then there's a video right now saying that there's a cop that's, you know, I didn't even look at it. I can't do this to myself because I'm not going to look at any more of this violence. I won't even say nonsense because it's too serious, but I said I'm not going to look at any more of this stuff. It's a video floating around right now on social media. You know, it's all over the net, not just social media. It's all over the net where this officer is heard telling people of Ferguson, "I will kill you. I will kill you." Some people, you know, some of the citizens there, "I will kill you," because you know they're not abiding by the law. You know, he's trying to make them go home or whatever. You know, stop the rioting, but. I mean, it ain't going to happen no time soon. I could tell you that right now. I mean, you know, they've had to bring in extra force to even get under control, which is still not under control. So I said all that to say this. It brings me to my topic of the night, which is, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I changed it up like I always do. That's I'm the queen of changing things up in the middle of the game. Bear with me a second here while I pull it up. My topic tonight is, and like I said, I want to read it verbatim. I don't want to freestyle on it because I want it to be just that. Do you think police brutality can be avoided by the officer or officers and the victims? Once again, my topic tonight, or my question to you all is, do you think police brutality can be avoided by the officers, and the victims, and that's with S parentheses. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how to feel about that, but y'all know what to do. If y'all want to weigh in on this, please call in. You know what to do, 646, you know the number, 646-478-5209. Again, you're calling in to the Emphatic Show on Lawless Radio. The topic is, or the question is, do you think police brutality can be avoided by the police officers or victims or by the victims? Call in 646-478-5209. And if you don't call in, you know what to do. Log on to lawlessradio.com. Like I said, this is just, I don't know, it's sad. It's sad all the way around. And then another thing, too, I didn't mention. I was going to mention, but I had to get into my topic real quick, too. You know, time is precious, and I need to get into it because people will start calling in a second, so I want to make sure that I had the topic out there so people can go ahead and weigh in on it. But one key thing, too, about this case that I find that is just really unbelievable is the fact that the officer didn't even call 911, didn't call for an ambulance, fire truck, or anything until 4 hours later. So this boy, young man, black young male, laid in the street of Ferguson, Missouri, which is very hot in the Midwest. You know Missouri is in the Midwest. He laid there for 4 hours, dead, DOA. And then they sent some kind of van. It was some unmarked van, you know, to pick his body up. I don't get that part. I really don't. I don't get that part. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's so bad that, and then this, it didn't make news, and this happened, I believe, on, it happened on the 8th, I want to say it was. It happened days ago, and this is the 20th. And it didn't start garnering attention. It didn't get out into the media until days later. That's another thing that's kind of sketchy and fishy to me. Now, I'm looking at this. I'm on USA Today, and it says at 5 a.m., the first day of school in Jennings near Ferguson was canceled for the safety of students who could be walking. So this has caused a chain reaction. It really has. It's caused a lot of things to happen that should not be happening. Kids should not be missing the first day of school unless, you know, the heat, you know, the air conditioning go out or school burned down or something major like that, as opposed to a riot. And 7 a.m., Ferguson police and city leaders say a number of death threats to the police force have been received in relation to the fatal shooting. Well, duh, of course it's going to happen. Of course it's going to happen. You know, regardless of whether, this is, okay, if you want to know what M. the Queen thinks, here it is. Here it goes. I don't know what Michael Brown did to deserve that, and I don't really feel that he did anything to deserve to be shot 6 times. Now, maybe a warning shot in the air, if he did anything wrong, yes. But to be shot as he turns around with his hands up in the air saying, don't shoot, don't shoot. He has his, and he, and, oh, I failed to mention one thing. He was unarmed. Once again, another unarmed black man has gotten shot by people or men and women that's supposed to protect and serve us. They're wearing uniforms. They're in unmarked cars. They're in police cars. They're in precincts. They're, you know, on motorcycles. They're on bicycles. They're supposed to protect us, not kill us for not getting on the sidewalk when was asked or told or forced to. I don't get it. Another thing I'm reading here at 10 a.m., this is all Monday, August 11th, so that's just 2 days ago. 10 a.m., hundreds gathered outside the Ferguson Police Department to demand justice for Brown's death. Police arrest at least 7 people that morning. 11 o'clock a.m., same morning. This is all the same morning. FBI announces the agency will do a parallel investigation into the shooting of Brown, which, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. I'm not even going to try to speculate. 2 p.m., St. Louis County Police Department announces it will release the name of officer who was accused of the shooting, Brown, which his name, I believe his name was Darren Williams or something like that. Let's see. Just scrolling down because I'm one of those people. I don't like to try to guess information, and I don't like to give wrong names and wrong information. Well, yeah, I'm scrolling down. I knew Al Sharpton was going to appear somewhere. I was just waiting for that. It says officials charged 9 people in relation to looting in Ferguson Sunday night into Monday morning. I mean, and then they say at 4 p.m., President Obama releases a statement regarding the Brown incident. The Justice Department announces it will take an on reviewing police practice across the country. Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath for that one. I will say that. Governor, oh man, this is 7 p.m., Governor Jay Nixon, City of St. Louis Mayor, and other area leaders come together to speak on the Brown case. At a separate public hearing, of course, Reverend Al Sharpton, the biggest opportunist on this planet, and the Brown family urged a peaceful fight towards justice for Michael Brown. 10 p.m., tensions rise between protesters and police for the third consecutive night. I mean, really, come on, what do they expect for it to happen? I mean, I just didn't know it was going to be like, and I'm looking at pictures where, I mean, good God, it's just like looking at the streets of Al Jazeera. I mean, looking like Israel or Palestine or something like that. This is crazy. This is crazy. Y'all, we're going to marinate on this, and I'm going to play some music. I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking tonight because I'm excited about my guest. Yes, 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 our guest, Mr. Blues Extraordinaire, part-time mortician, or just the other way around, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins Jr. Y'all have known him for a very long time, his mother. And I'll tell you more about him later on in the show when he does come on the air. And, you know, I'm telling you, like, it's just like I got goosebumps because I've known him all my life. I knew he played music. I knew all this stuff. But to actually have him on the show, my first, and let me just tell y'all, this will be my first North Carolina guest. Yes, I've said it time and time again. Now, I've had my first Carolina guest from South Carolina, but I don't rep South Carolina. I rep North Carolina. I'm a Carolina peach, meaning North Carolina. And, you know, everybody want to sit back, you know, as artists back home that's actually got talent, want to sit back and be salty as opposed to editing the damn music and sending it to me so I can go ahead and give them some airplay. So guess what? They're playing themselves. I'm not playing you. You're playing yourself. I'm trying to play you, but in a good way. So I'm really excited about my guest. I don't want to keep harping on this, but I definitely want other people to weigh in and tell me what they feel and what they think because, you know, this has just gotten out of hand. It really has, and I don't know. I don't know when it's going to – oh, Darren Wilson. I just came across his name. His name is Darren Wilson. Yep, it says right here at 8:45 a.m., Darren Wilson is named as the officer who shot Brown on August 9th. Wilson has been on the force for 6 years and had no disciplinary action against him. Well, let me just say this. Mr. Michael Brown, did not have a criminal background. Nothing. So they're kind of even in that sense. Also says, so no disciplinary action against him, Police Chief Thomas Jackson says. The announcement comes 3 days after police originally said they would name the officer, citing a fear of the officer's safety. Well, hey, you do. I ain't going to say the crime, but, I mean, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You took a life. You have to, you know, you have to deal with what's to come and you know, the aftermath, whether you're a cop or whether you know, somebody out here on the street or whether you're a gangbanger. And speaking of gangs, you know, something that the media is not even saying, that there's Crips and Blood gang members that have come together to protect stores from being looted. Okay, they put Michael Brown out there saying he's, you know, he robbed a store for $5 worth of cigars, but they're not talking about the good things that, you know, that gang members are doing. They're trying to stop the looting. They're trying to help out. They're really trying to help out. I mean, probably a lot of these people don't want to see their little town destroyed. That's where that's all they know. That's their town. That's where they grew up at. That's where they were born. That's where a lot of people's childhood memories are, and they don't want to see it destroyed. I would feel the same way about the town I grew up in. I mean, granted, it's Mayberry. It's not much to destroy, but I wouldn't want to see it destroyed. It's just being destroyed enough by the drug use of, you know, former classmates, schoolmates, and you name it, the mothers, the fathers, even some grand, you know, a lot of grandparents. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's mad. But, yeah, so I also wanted to say, too, in this paragraph, it says the police chief also gave details about a strong-arm robbery at a local convenience store that took place moments before Wilson shot Brown. He did not connect Brown to the robbery during the news conference, which is another thing. But in police documents he released to reporters, Brown is named as a suspect. Jackson released dispatch records and video surveillance of the robbery as well. But he was named as a suspect, but no one knows whether he really did it, and we're never going to know the real truth. I mean, it can be surveillance all day long. I mean, they say they think we all look alike anyway, right along. So, you know, it's just a terrible situation. But, y'all, actually, we got a caller. Okay, we're gonna hold off on the music for a second. We got a caller here. I got a 646. You calling into the Emphatic Show on Lawless Radio. Who we got on the line?
Hey, me. It's your boy, Ty. What's good, baby?
What's up, Ty?
Chilling, baby. Chilling. Checking in from South Orange, New Jersey. You know, had to take a little vacation away from the lovely Franklin County. You know what I'm saying? I'm out. I'm out with my uncle right now, doing a little, you know, relaxing or whatnot, out at a nice little bar or whatnot, but I noticed that it was Wednesday, and, you know, I've been calling in for the last month or so, and I refuse to miss, you know what I'm saying? So I at least wanted to check in and just say hello, you know, let you know that I was thinking or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't care if I'm at least just calling to say hi. I'm not going to miss the show. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to check in and say hello, you know what I'm saying? Let you know everything was good. I'm out here doing my thing.
No doubt. Well, real quick, now that I have you on the line, you know, you probably don't know what my topic is because you've been posting pictures on Facebook all day long. So I know you out there just balling. You up there, you up, as they say in North Carolina, you up north.
Yeah, I'm up north right now, Shawty. I'm up north right now. I'm a north spot. What's good with you?
Like you're having a ball. I'm happy for you. You need a vacation. I'm going to have one. I'm going to Miami. So, yeah, I feel you on that. But real quick, Ty. My topic for tonight is, and this is not really a topic so much as a question, do you think police brutality can be avoided by officers and the victims?
Do I think police brutality can be avoided by what now?
By the officers and the victims.
Let me just say this, just like I said in the show before, I don't think police brutality will ever be able to actually be 100% avoided at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because as long as you got that one that feels like the other is wrong, you feel what I'm saying? They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be the aggressor to make sure that their point gets across. You know what I'm saying? So as far as the officer, they always try to have the upper hand in the situation where they feel like, you know, what would you call them, the offender or whatever. As long as you have that law enforcement officer that feels like the other one is, you know what I'm saying, in the wrong, they're going to go above and beyond. You know what I'm saying? You may match point for point where that offender, you know what I'm saying, makes his case as far as, well, I'm in the wrong or whatever the case may be. There's going to be that one dick out there that, you know what I'm saying, feels like he has to make his point. Yeah, you were wrong. You messed up. You did this. Therefore, you have to pay. Now, if you have to pay by, you know, his own rough justice or whatever the case may be. Well, I don't call it justice, but, you know what I'm saying, for anybody to understand what I'm saying, if you have to suffer by his own rough justice, that's just what it is. So let me just say police brutality will never be avoided at all, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though, but do you think it could be avoided by the victim? If he takes another approach, let's say if you have an actual good cop that actually abides by the law, then what?
That's going to be, see, that right there, based on, you know where I'm from, you feel what I'm saying? So based on that right there alone, I'm not even going to sit here and say like I can imagine that because I've never witnessed it. You feel what I'm saying?
That's true.
You feel what I'm saying? I'm not even going to sit here and fake to your listeners and make it seem like I could relate with something like that because I've never witnessed it.
But, I mean, like I'm
still here.
I was just switching in the Bluetooth profile. But, it's just, I think that right there is just, I don't know. I'd rather not even speak on that because, like I said, I've never witnessed anything where there was a law abiding.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? That's just the way I roll. Like I said, man, I just wanted to check in and let you know I hadn't forgot. You know, I refused to miss the show.
I know. You're my family now.
So, let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question, man. You lawless or lost?
I'm lawless, baby. And guess what else I am? I'm emphatic.
You already know it. But, yeah, I'm going to get back to doing what I do. I just had to call and check in, all right?
No doubt. Much love.
All right, baby.
All right. One. Y'all, that was Big Ty. I don't want to call him Little Ty because he was Little Ty when he was little. But now he's Big Ty. His dad was Big Ty, but now he's Big Ty, and he's, you know, he's a loyal listener, and he calls in every week, and he's definitely family. He's from back home, and, you know, I love him. I love him a lot. So, I mean, always, he's always welcome to this show no matter what. I don't care, no matter the weather. So, no doubt. But, yeah, so, yeah, I understand exactly what he said, and it made a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense, no doubt. But tell you, it's just crazy. I mean, I just wish, you know, these things would just stop. I just wish the police would stop killing our young men. I mean, sometimes it's warranted. You know, not warranted. I hate even use the word warranted, but come on now. If you rob a liquor store and you take someone's life, you know, you have to kind of, you're going to suffer the consequences, you know, no matter how you look at it. You got to suffer the consequences. You hurt someone, you kill someone, you harm someone. But someone that's unarmed, I'm never going to quite understand that. And I can't, you know, even leave my mind to even understand how that could be done. So, but anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into some music. That's what we do. Oh, goodness gracious, we got another caller. But, caller, I see you. I do see you. But we're going to get into some music real quick before our guest, who is Franklinton, North Carolina own, Franklinton, North Cadillac's own, Joby Cutchins, blues extraordinaire. We about to get into some round from my boy MVM of Memphis, Tennessee. Y'all, you heard, it's lawless and it's emphatic. All right?
Hey, know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of things in this world that go side to side, but I want to see something that go round. Hey, it's like a roller coaster. She make it go round. She make it go round. Trying to hide, but I'm peeking like I see y'all. Special made dresses, cause she trying to cover it. Every time she dance, it raise up McDonald's loving me. Stop this world, I wanna see your galaxy. Got your booty flipping on the like a balance beam. Then she throw it up, long pass, Hail Mary. Watch her tote that running back, tucking carry. Gotta get a number, she can get it, that's a ringtone. Booty making music, every time she dance, I sing along. When the mama walks, she so bad, she need a theme song. Like some genuine, mama, how you get them jeans on? It's like a roller coaster, you make it go round. You make it go round. So you can see it. Bill Cosby's favorite. Jiggle low like Jello. Get the proper greeting. When I see it, I say hello. Say this in the word. Teach you win the medal. Take it like some babe. Clap it with some treble. Got me going crazy. Booty going loco. Stand tight. Booty cheek. Shaking solo. Earthquake booty. Cause she take the time. Booty call it Mary.
Oh shit, when I'm spitting, be giving them hell. sister with the misfit. See the streets have me stressed, talking trouble. While I ride to the booty club. One word, word a pack, aim to kill. One of the illest, grimy evictions. Follow the poverty-stricken lyricism. Cooking inside of your kitchen. Product of vision, prodigal son. Like I jumped out of religion. Landed in the river for spiritual cleansing. Henchmen I run with, roll with, fly with. Timbos and closets. Rather live poor than die rich. Things never minded me. Kill my change, make it rain. Once they on that pole, horizontally. When I go, where the next homie cry for me? Liquor inside of me got me spinning. Crib flooded with women. Demented poems deploying at the moment I'm lamping. Howard to Stanford, Pacific to the tide on Atlantic. Money in mansions, homies killed, driver advances. Top of the villa, massages on a tropical village. Block with gorillas that stick ya. Hit your frame, blood of your chain. Had your cross upside down like your worst ship wicker. With the misfit.
See the streets have me stressed up in trouble.
While I ride through the drama. Oh shit, what I'm spitting be giving them hell. The misfit.
See the streets have me stressed.
What a pack aim to kill. Animal gang, home of the champion kings. Hustling muddy, burning tucked in front of my tummy. To understand me is the vigilante. Bullets land a full circle panoramic. Examine the way my name's branded on ya. I do this for the kids, the whole heat. Harassed by the police. Nice stick swing, hit your obliques. That take me back like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Parolees, shackled by the ankles, walking slow speed. Try to scare a straight and getting cold feet. They smoke weed, otherwise they don't breathe. I block it out just like a flock of goalie. Black tongue's a Klansman's trophy. We do it to ourselves when we banging each other while we remain in the gutter, stripped of fabric. Hungry savages, aristocratic. Brain Aristotle when them hot'll split your cabbage. To the skies amongst the madness. I pray for that sun to shine. Living is a torture, many wanna die.
The misfit. Streets have me stressed, something trouble.
While I ride through the drama. Oh shit, what I'm spitting be giving them hell. The misfit. What a packed year, my paper calculated. Same moment your bank evacuated. Lies is televised, so envy is my admiration. Taking flicks with their homies, they photograph with Satan. Eyes hazy, spaced out as Macy Gray is. Nighttime, day man, stressed to the gray hands. Arriving on my dome, yo. Pull out the tray, Ocho. Rooms is cloudy, tombs around me, that's why I'm morbid. All the drugs, we soak it up and absorb it. For the boys that don't listen, they pay the morgue visits. Morticians, more victims, more metamorph, we miss them. Could be a whole ab and not one person snitching. 8-9 Tennessee, but that only mean Memphis. Don't mistake associates for a true friendship. The ones that say you closest with, the first ones to get you. Only one to hang around just for your lynching. When you say your top five, I'm the first one they mention.
The streets have me stressed, something trouble.
While I ride through the drama. Oh shit, what I'm spitting be giving them hell. The misfit.
See the streets have me stressed, something trouble.
While I ride through the drama. Oh shit, run what a pack aim to kill. The misfit. Ride through the drama. The misfit. I'm not your average kid, giving them hell. The misfit. Ride through the drama.
Something terrible.
The misfit. I'm not your average kid, giving them hell.
Something terrible.
That's that holy Christy love. 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 www.TomDavidsProduction.com.
Yes, 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 y'all, we are back, or I am back. Yes, you are tuned into the Emphatic Show on LawlessRadio.com with yours truly, me and the queen, your one and only host, for she is I and I am her. What? Yes. But anyway, y'all, we have a serious, you know, topic going on here, man. It's just, you know, or I don't even want to call it a topic. It's a topic, but it's more of a question I pose to everyone. If somebody can shed some light and just tell me something. I mean, give me some kind of hope or something. Do you think police brutality can be avoided by both parties, meaning the police and the victim? Y'all know what to do. Call in 646-478-5209, or you can just log on to lawlessradio.com. And I do believe we got a guest. We have a caller. We have a caller. My guest thing, he ain't called in yet. So, y'all, I do believe I think I know who we have on the line. Would that be B-Mo Slim? Could it be? I guess we don't. 646-478-5209. Okay, I don't know what we got going on here. Let's try this one more time. 404, who we got on the line? You call into the Emphatic Show on Lawless Radio. Okay, so we just going to put them back on hold. They're not saying too much. I thought I knew who it was. But it looks like y'all don't even matter because we have our guest, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins, Jr., blues extraordinaire. Y'all, once again, he's from my hometown, so y'all got to show him some love. He brought through some really good music. I can't wait to even play the music. I can't wait to hear it, and I want y'all to hear it too. So I'm about to bring in my guest, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins.
Hello, Queen. How are you?
I am good. Welcome to the Emphatic Show on LawlessRadio.com. This is your first time coming through. No, this is your second time coming through. I beg the difference. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm tired. I just ran out of church next door for a revival, and I jumped on the phone, and I'm sitting in my office next door in the funeral home. But I'm here. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you are here, too. I mean, for a minute, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was having technical difficulties, but, you know, God is always able. He's always able, so that's all that matters. We got you now. Man, what's going on with you?
A little bit of everything. Can you hear me okay? I'm on a speakerphone in the funeral home. Is it all right?
Yep. Uh-huh, yeah, you good. You good. I can hear you clearly.
Life is wonderful. Life is wonderful. You know what I do for a
living?
Yeah,
I can imagine. I can imagine how the funeral business treats you.
You don't ask the funeral to recognize the funeral business because the universal answer is it's dead.
It's so funny. I still can't believe you know my crazy cousin. Y'all got to hear this story real quick before we get into to Joe, the artist, the blues extraordinaire. I have a cousin who is the president now. Help me out here, Joe. Is it the president of the funeral home directors of what is the organization?
He's now a past president of the Funeral Directors and Morticians Association of North Carolina Incorporated. I'm a poet.
Right, right. Yeah, he used to be the president. Actually, yeah, Mr. John Brown. He funeralized my mother. Next month will be 4 years, and it's just so crazy how y'all know each other. So, yeah, Don, I know Don is a character. I can only imagine some conversations y'all had.
Oh, yes. He's one of my adopted sons.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah,
I mean, you got
one of my
family.
Sons, and I'm pappy to all of them.
Right. Right, right. That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, Joe, I knew, you know, you were in the funeral business. You know, I was telling, you know, our listeners that, let me tell you, I didn't tell y'all this. His family owned the only black funeral home in our town that I grew up in, which is Franklinton, North Carolina. And let me tell you a little bit about Franklinton real quick, y'all. I mean, it's not Franklinton, Louisiana, because it's a Franklinton, Louisiana, but we are the Franklinton. We the biggest Franklinton, as small as we are. But, yes, we are the birthplace and home of the Biddy brothers, Henry and Bobby Biddy, that played baseball. They played baseball and basketball. And one being the father of Michael Biddy, who still plays in the NBA right now. And if you walk into my old high school, you know, you'll see a big old trophy case or curio, whatever you want to call it, full of their trophies, awards, where, you know, they, you know, took us to national champions in both sports. I mean, it's amazing. And also, I mean, our little town has a lot of history, y'all. Also, 19, I believe it was, 60, well, maybe it's 59 or 61, I'm thinking one of the two, famous boxer who's one of my idols, which I shouldn't say idols, but, you know, one of my, I guess I'll say idols because I can't think of another word, you know, to describe, you know, what he meant to me and what he meant to boxing and what he meant to civil rights and what he meant to, you know, just being black, and which is Jack Johnson. The boxer Jack Johnson was killed right by my elementary school, yeah, over the railroad tracks. 1946. Okay, yeah, I was a little bit off. Yeah, 1946, right. Yep, in June of 1946, he was killed right by my elementary school. So y'all just know that where I'm from is a lot of history, and a lot of blues singers have come through, like Royce, who I've known for a long time, used to be one of my good friends. You name it. They've come through. Parker's, which is an old club in Franklinton, right off U.S. Highway 1, coming, you know, if you're coming from Raleigh northbound, it's off the U.S. Highway, and number one, and it was a famous club where people came through. It was a hole in the wall, yes, it was, but it has a lot of history. So, Joe, talk to me. Tell me, how long you been singing professionally? I never knew how long you've been singing. I just knew that you played in a band or something.
I've been singing professionally since I was about 13 years old, and I'm
get out of here!
Whole lot
oh my goodness!
I went to Syracuse, New York, when I finished St. Augustine's College in Raleigh, North Carolina, in 1965,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
I had my own band when I was at St. Aug, and then I went to Syracuse and I joined with a group of musicians from Alabama, and we call ourselves the Fabulous Tornadoes. And we played for Cliff Noble's Fantastic Johnny C. We were managed by Jesse James in Philadelphia. And
get out of here. I never knew this. Wow.
Yeah. In 1972, I came back home to live, and I formed a group called the Root Doctor and the Voodoo Men. And we played together for about 2 years. And then I went from there to a mobile disc jockey. I had my own club in Franklinton called the Doctor's Office. And
get out of here! Now when was this? Now this had to be before. I call it BM before. Before M.
Yeah, it was before M. It was 75.
Okay, well, the year after M, but before we came to Franklinton, because we didn't land into Franklinton until 1979. I'm sorry.
I had closed
wow. So where was it, on Main Street or?
So it was up on the highway, up on US 1, and it was back off the highway where the old racetrack used to be. And my brother and I called it the doctor's office, and that was the place to be. I had Royce up there. I had Wild
mm-hmm.
Man C. I had a bunch of groups. I had a bunch. bunch of people that came through as they were passing through the area. We had all kinds of good musicians, and that was the beginning of the disco era. Happened about the time that I had that nightclub. And then when my daddy died, I had to come to the funeral home. So I kind of gave all that up. I went into the church, and I played in my church, in church, since 1977. And a few years ago...
Okay, is that First Baptist? Now, is that First Baptist?
Yeah, I played at First Baptist for about 30 years. But I also played at a church up in the country called Pope's Chapel.
I never been, but I remember that church.
The Pope's Chapel Church, I played there for about 5 years. And then I came to First Baptist, and I've been there for 30 years. And, you know, they'll send you to hell because you play a music other than gospel music. But I've always been a lover of all kinds of music. And a few years ago, I just decided I wanted to go out and do a work of my own. And I forgot about what people were going to think about me and how they perceived me. And I sat down after surviving bladder cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
I started writing my story, and my story is what I sent you, Joe B. Cutchins Jr., Keeping It Real. That's actually my autobiography in music. And I wrote all those songs, and I have a personal relationship with every one of those songs except the one that I like the most, and that's called A Better Place.
Absolutely. Wow. See, I mean, and that's the thing. That's the joy of, you know, like getting to, well, that's the joy of the music industry. That's the joy of networking. That's the joy of what we do here at Lawless. Let me just tell you what we do here at Lawless. Our slogan is support your local come up. And that means we don't play any signed artists. Now, if they're signed to a small label. They have their own label, you know, doing it independently. But we support our unsigned, underground, independent artists. That's all we do here. And that's the joy of, you know, the premise of getting this Lawless Radio and Lawless Entertainment started, which is, you know, our CEO is T.L. Lewis. And I'm telling you, I look up to him. He's like one of my mentors. And, you know, and I said that to say this, because the joy of listening to people's stories and things you didn't even know. You know, I didn't even know that you had all this musical. I knew you had the talent, but I didn't even know you had all this musical history all the way up into New York, I mean, upstate New York. That's crazy. And not just Brian and I. Y'all, let me just tell you, his nephew is my brother, Mr. Brian Spann. I mean, one of the best basketball players, I mean, that didn't make it. You know, I'm going to have him on the show one day. He's going to preach my head off, but I'm going to have him on the show. And we talk all the time, and didn't ever know any of these things. You know, it's crazy. That's why it's so funny how God lead me to certain people. I don't just have, and I said this all the time. I said it on last show, and I say it all the time, and I will continue to say it. I don't have just anybody on my show. I don't need ratings. I don't do this show for ratings. I do it for the love. I do it because there's people out there that want to be played, and they can't get played. You know, they don't have the money to get played, and you know, but they're working just as hard, you know, at their career, just like I am. I'm an unsigned artist. Now, I have my own record label, but I don't have distribution as of yet. So I'm still, you know, climbing, you know, the mountain myself. You know, I'm still trying to make it to the Jordan River. So, you know, that's, you know, and I belong here. This is something I want to give people a chance to be heard and be played. And, you know, as long as they come to me right, you know, I'm going to definitely support them. When I say come to me right, you know, bring your edited music. And let me just say, you're my first North Carolina artist. Now, you're my second Carolina artist, but as I said before earlier in the show, I don't support South Carolina. I support it, but I don't rep it. I rep North Carolina. And, right. You know, I had my artist, let me see, my guest, not last week, but week before last, he was from South Carolina, Palmetto Fresh. Shout out to Palmetto Fresh. I will see you on the 19th at your album release party in Charlotte, so no doubt. I can't wait. But, you know, and I tell those cats back home, Joe, oh, my goodness gracious, I tell them all the time, send me your edited music. That's all you have to do, and I will play you. But rather than do that, rather than take the time, right, rather than take the time to sit back and edit their music or admit that they don't know how to edit music, they rather sit back and sulk and be salty. So, you know, while you're being salty, you know, I'm sounding sweet on the radio. So that's how I look at it. But yeah, I mean, just to know these things, I'm just in amazement right now. And you know, and I know you, I knew you probably knew Roy C. personally. I met him. Now let me ask you this too. Do you know Bobby Hinton out of Durham, North Carolina?
Yes. Yes, I know all of the old school musicians from everywhere around here. Roy C and I were partners when I had that band, The Root Doctor and the Voodoo Men. He was helping my manager, Rick Darnell, put that Mr. D record label together. Rick Darnell is the writer that wrote The Thrill Is Gone for B.B. King. And he was my manager at one time back in the early 70s when I came home. And Rick is dead now. In fact, I went to Roanoke, Virginia to Farmville, Virginia to sing at his funeral about 3 years ago. And I sang The Wind Beneath My Wings at his funeral. Because I had
I would have loved to hear that.
I have it on the bootleg copy of my music. I can bootleg my own music. On the release copy, it's not on there. But Rick Darnell and Roy C. and I were real good friends, and I still communicate with Roy once in a while. But I do know Hinton in Durham. I had some wonderful relationships with a lot of musicians when I had the club. Now I'm working with a blind, autistic, mentally challenged white fella named Tony Drake from Greensboro. He's a blues guitarist, and he sings.
Oh, wow.
And Roy Roberts, a Grammy Award-winning, Roy Roberts is our manager from Greensboro. He's a blues guitarist, singer also. So we tour in a package occasionally. And even at 70 years old, I'm still rocking.
Wow, I know that's right. Well, yeah, and I asked you about Bobby Hinton because I sing backup for Bobby Hinton before I moved here to Atlanta 14 years ago. I lived in Virginia for 2 years. And I used to sing back up with Bobby Hinton in the Shades of Blue. I was one of the Shades of Blue, and we used to sing at the Talk of the Town. We used to go down to Wilmington and sing for old rich white folk, weddings, you name it, we were doing it. I mean, I had a blast with Bobby Hinton, I tell you. He is very instrumental in my career because he is the reason why I went solo, which I had thoughts of going solo, but I didn't have no solo money. So he actually financially backed my first three singles, which I had a couple played on 97.5, the Slam It and Jam It. And it was Rush It and Flush It back in the day, but by the time I moved to Virginia, they recoined it Slam It and Jam It. And so, yeah, I was able to get played. And, yeah, Bobby, he taught me a lot. And actually, it's so funny because I still got a couple of his CDs from way back in the 90s that I was, singing backup on. And you know, I see my little credit there and stuff. It's, you know, I'll never forget him because if it wasn't for him, you know, I would have gotten into the music industry. I just don't know how. You know, so luckily, yeah, you know, I had someone, a mentor. You know, everyone don't have mentors and, you know, and you're mentoring people, and that's great. And with Roy C., I met Roy C. at the Blues Festival, and I forgot the name of the Blues Festival, but it's somewhere between Lewisburg and Raleigh, out that way. I just remember going out, it's somewhere out 401, I want to say. And I met him in 98, yeah, and he hit on me and stuff, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. I didn't know who he was at first, and so he and I, you know, Bobby introduced us. He was like, well, she's special, you know, she sing backup for me, but we're working on a solo project, and that's how I met Roy. And Roy and I was supposed to do some music, but I was kind of hesitant on doing it because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I'm not, at the time I was in my early 20s, so I really didn't want to do blues, and that's not what I do because I sing a plethora of music, types of music. I mean, from soul to pop to classic rock, I mean, my influences are people like Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, Loretta Lynn, Dusty Springfield, Phil Collins, Madonna, Mickey Howard, Phyllis Hyman. Those are my types of, and even Toni Braxton, those are my type of influences. India Davenport, right. Nina Simone, and I actually plan on remaking Nina Simone's Center Man. So, you know, she's another North Carolina artist, rest in peace. But, yeah, so I had the opportunity to meet a lot of these people. I met Lattimore. In the back of a limo, it was a crazy life. It was a crazy time, but I loved every minute of it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm still blown away by what you just, you know, the things you just told me that you've done throughout this music industry. So basically, you've been doing this for Is it safe to say over 50 years or, close to 60 years?
Yes, close to 60 years. Listen here. I got two men here in my office. They're my staff members. And I think you know the Holden twins that lived around the corner.
I knew you were about to say that, Alvin and Calvin. Yeah, those are my brother's best friends.
Can they
hear me?
Yeah.
What's up, Alvin and Calvin? Or should I say Horseshoe? Oh, my goodness. It's so funny because I ran into Kelvin. I got to tell you this, Kelvin. I don't know if you remember 2 years ago, around June, I was up in North Carolina for my youngest daughter's graduation, and I was in Food Lion, and I was right behind you in the line, and you kept looking back like, I think I know her. That's the look that you had on your face, that's the expression you had. I think I know her. I'm not sure, but she looked familiar. And I just kept smiling at you, and I think I did speak. I said, hey, Kevin, Kelvin, how you doing? I might have said Holden twin. I can't remember. But you looked back and you spoke because you had, I think it was a daughter with you. And I said, he really don't know who I am, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, by that time, you know, the clerk started ringing up my stuff, and you walked out. And I was like, well, I was thinking. I said, Lord, please let him be out there still. Just loading the stuff up in the car so I can just run up to him. But you sat there and looked at me. I had on a long, pretty green dress and the long, flowy hair, and you had no idea who I was.
I
tell you, my
heart
was broken.
That was Alvin with the daughter.
That was Alvin. Okay. That is hilarious. That's hilarious. I was like, wow. I'm standing right behind one of the Holden twins who my brother played basketball with just about every day for years.
Every day.
And he don't even know who I am. That is just so funny. That's so funny. Well, it's good to hear from both of you. It's good. And I'll be in North Carolina sometime next month. I might ride through Franklinton. I don't know. I have to visit my father, who's in New Bern and an assistant living. Can't walk or talk, but actually just got a speech back after 10 years recently. So, yeah, I'll definitely come through and, you know, hopefully I'll run into you. Because usually when I come to Franklinton, I do run into people at the store and, you know, they'll do a double take like, wait a minute, that's Mary or whatever, you know. And I was in North Carolina again for my class reunion, but I wasn't there for the reunion. I was there to see my father in New Bern, and I stayed in Franklinton a couple of days with my sister. And didn't tell nobody I was coming. Nobody had no idea. And wind up I went to the homecoming, but before that, I went to buy a Carolina shirt so Chris Godfrey could see my Carolina shirt, because he and I be going at it. He's a Duke fan, D-O-O-K, Dookie fan. On my way to Henderson to get that shirt, I run into one of my classmates and Brad Kearney, and so my surprise is all ruined. So nobody still knew I was coming to the game, and when I came, boy, you would think they saw a ghost. So it was really hilarious. I mean, yeah, it was fun time. It was fun time, definitely. But yes, I've been doing this for a year and some change. I was a co-host to T.O. Lewis, the chairman, who is our CEO. But then he wound up giving me my own show, actually this June. And so I kind of knew it was coming, but it was just a matter of time, you know. It's a great experience just doing this, y'all. I got to tell you, it's been a great experience just meeting different artists and getting to know these people that I see on social media all the time, listening to their music as they spam me to death. But then some people just catch my ear and my eye. And I've been thinking, and let me just tell you, Body, I've been thinking this for a while. I got to get you on the show. I even mentioned it to the CEO, or the chairman. You know, I wanted to get you on the show and you know, play some blues music and do a little, you know, something different, a change from what we're doing. But, you know, I don't discriminate as far as music. I mean, I play country music. As long as it's underground and if we can support you, we can be that stepping stone to get you to where you're trying to go in this music game or just entertainment, or if you're not trying to go very far, you just want to be played, hey, I'm here. I am definitely here. So Joe, now you said you started out at 13. Now, did you start out in the church, or did you just, like, formed a small band when you were very young?
I was in high school when we formed the band. Well, I actually was a freshman at St. Aug when we formed the band. And
mm-hmm.
I would come on the weekends. My brother and my baby sister were in the band with another cousin. I don't know whether you know John Perry. He's a little older. And a couple guys from here and we had a real nice little band, and we played all over the place. And because I've always had connections with a lot of people through my daddy, through the funeral home, through my fraternity. Yes, I am a Q. And And I've just been able to play in a lot of places. And now, knowing all the funeral directors all over the country, I'm actually doing a show. I did a concert in Dallas 2 weeks ago. And
that's right. You were in Dallas. That's right. And you said you did a concert there.
I did a concert while I was in Dallas.
Get out of here. Now, was that a surprise? Because I remember I had contacted you about being on the show, and you said you were going to be there for the funeral business. So was that a surprise, or was it planned, or what? How did you stumble upon that?
No, it was planned. We have a group within our organization called the 100 Black Women of Funeral Service. And they do an annual event, and I'm their chosen entertainer. And I use tracks. I've got 125 tracks, and it's, you know, full orchestrated tracks, and I just sing on top of the tracks. And, you know, this music that I've lived all my life, and people are just astounded. How can this old man sing all this music? But it's easy because I've done it all my life. So they chose me to be their entertainer, and that's what I do every year. I do a concert for them wherever we are. Last year I was in New Orleans.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you're still doing it. Because, like, a lot of people, and I can even, you know, we kind of have some similar type of background, to a degree, except your pedigree goes a little bit further or further back than mine, which I think is extraordinary. But, you know, people, even to this very day, you know, they try to, I don't know if it's they guilting me or trying to guilt me or trying to, I don't know, I can't really call it, and I really don't care to call it, but, you know, people say to me, you know, why ain't you singing gospel? You know, your mother was a minister, your daddy was a deacon, you know, you sang in church, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people knew I sang in church, and some people that really just didn't know I sung. I mean, some people back home just did not know, and you know, that's cool. I understand, because I didn't associate with, you know, a whole lot of people. So people would try to throw it up in my face, you know, like, why aren't you singing in church? And especially now that my mother is, you know, gone, she passed away 4 years ago, people, you know, come to me periodically, ever so often, will be like, you know, now your mother is gone, and don't you think your mother would have been more happy, you know, if you sing gospel? But the thing is, my mother is gone, so I can't make her happy at this point. But and also, before she was, you know, before she passed, it's not really about making her happy. It's about making me happy. Now, yes, I can write gospel all day long, and I can sing it. Now, I can sing, I mean, some Tremaine Hawkins. I got a range and everything, but that's not my desire, because, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I don't call myself a Christian, although I have been saved and been baptized, all that stuff, you know. But, you know, I'm agnostic, I'm non-denominational, and I wasn't raised that way, but that's how I became. I developed that, you know, understanding that I do have a strong spiritual connection with God. I don't care how you look at it, but I do. And God and I know that. That's all that matters. And, you know, it's just not, I'm not going to say it's not in my heart to sing gospel, but it's just not in my soul at this point. Now, maybe down the line, and I've had people tell me that you're supposed to be a preacher, and, you know, if it's true, then, you know, God is going to see fit that happens, because I can't run from him, and I certainly can't hide from him. So I feel you on that. You know, when people say, you know, why ain't you singing in church, and this, that, and the third, and, you know, I'm not above it, and I'm certainly not against it. So I feel you on that. And also, you know, just being in, you know, just, you know, getting closer to a certain age. I just remember Joe when in my 20s, you know, it was not really a rush. You know, I kind of took my time with things. But when I was approaching 30, or even when I turned 30, oh, my goodness, I start feeling like time is against me and not on my side. I'm like, okay, I'm 30 years old, and I don't have a record out. okay, I'm 32 years old, I don't have a record out. So that's when I just started kind of panicking, you know, in a sense in my mind, like, okay, time is ticking, and, you know, after a while, nobody's going to want to see a 50-year-old woman, you know, dropping it hot on stage, you know what I'm saying? And I really don't want to see a 50-year-old dropping it hot on stage anyway. But anyway, you know, that's how my mindset was. But now, you know, I look at it differently. Yeah, you know, I'm at a certain age. I'm still very young. I don't look my age. I look very, very young for my age. And I have two adult children, two adult daughters. And, you know, I don't even look at it that way no more. I mean, I look at it as if I love music. I'm very talented. You know, I write my own stuff. I do it all myself. I'm an exec. I do it all. So I just look at it as if, hey, you know, I'm doing what I love no matter how old I am. I'm not looking to get a record deal at this point. I just want some distribution. Distribute my records, distribute my artist, KB West next, on Emphatic Music Group, and that's all I need. That's all I need. So, yeah, I mean, I and just to be doing it as long as you have and still going strong and still making great music. Because, you know, some artists get to a point where, you know, they get of age, you know, they just don't have that spark they used to have. And now I haven't really heard a whole lot of your, you know, younger music or, you know, earlier music, but I can only imagine because the music I heard, which I'm about to play, I was impressed. I was like, wow, spark has not gone, obviously. And your voice is just amazing. For a second, you know, listening to Keeping It Real was the first song I listened to. And for a second, I thought I was listening to Bobby Womack. I mean, I literally, and let me tell you, Bobby Womack is one of my influences. He is one of the reasons why I'm a songwriter to this day. I mean, as a child, you know, I was very, very small, but I knew what I heard as a child that I loved, and it just kind of stuck with me. And let me just tell you, it just really, really blew me away, the voice. I mean, you have a combination of, you know, you almost have like a sultry voice, and, you know, it's you have an element of your voice that it really, really, you know, it's a turn-on, you know? It's a turn-on I wouldn't even say for like a better term. I just keep it real. It is a turn-on, you know? And I just like that honesty in your voice, that sincerity in your voice, because everybody don't have that. So on that note, Joe, hold on and stick around and hold in twins, y'all. I'm about to play some. I got three joints here. I got Better Place, Keeping It Real, and You're Wrong as Two Left Shoes. Man, it gets no better than that. Y'all stay tuned. Y'all listening to Lawless Emphatic with your one and only host, me and the Queen. I'm about to get into some Joe B. Cutchins. All right.
What I do my own way. I don't infringe on your space when I do what I feel. I'm just being true to myself, baby.
think you're gonna come into my life, make wholesale changes to everything that turns me on. You're wrong, wrong, two left shoes. If you think I'm gonna roll over and play dead, let you dictate to me how I ought to live my life, you're wrong, wrong, two left shoes. You see, I'm my own kind of man, baby. I do what I think is right. I'll treat you something special every day and every night. But I'm an old school player, baby. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. Pretty frog and fatten you up for just another snake. You're wrong. You're wrong. Two left shoes. And if you think I'm gonna dig deep in my pockets, roll out my hard-earned cash, give you every dime I make. You're wrong. Shopping too. I'll buy you pretty things so the whole world can look at you. You can drive a brand new car so you and your friends can take a ride. But when I'm on the scene, baby, I want you by my side. And if you don't, you're wrong. It's two left shoes. See, I'm an old school player, baby. Everything to gain.
God, y'all got a chance to hear a legend in his own right, Mr. Joe B. Cutchins. Yo, I'm sitting up here like, man, oh my God, I'm sitting up here rocking back and forth. I'm imagining listening to some Otis Redding mixed with Sam and Dave, mixed with the Mighty Clouds of Joy and just all those greats, you know, those gospel greats back in the day. That's what I'm picturing and listening in my mind. Joe Cutchins, how do you do it? Who are your musicians? Who plays your instruments?
I played all the keyboards, organ,
okay.
Piano. I have a Fender Rhodes piano. Most people, that's a dinosaur, and I have two Fender Rhodes, an 88 key and a 73 key. And the 88 key is the bottom instrument in all of my music. And then I have a Hammond organ, XB2 Hammond organ keyboard. And that's where the organ sounds came from. So, and I played two piano tracks, two organ tracks. I played tambourine. I did all of the lead vocals. And I harmonized with myself on the background vocals. My brother did help me with Wrong Is Two Left Shoes. But all the others,
okay.
I did the lead vocal and the background vocals. And my son is my drummer. My son has graduated from North Carolina A&T, and he's 25 years old. He's now in mortuary school at Fayetteville Tech in the mortuary program. And he comes home on the weekends
wow.
to play drums at church. And he's my drummer when I record and when I play in person. My other guitarist is a friend of mine. His mother owns Wake Monument Company over in Roseville, North Carolina, and he's my blue-eyed soul brother. He played bass on all of the tracks. He also played drums on a couple of them. He played guitar on all of them, and he played trumpet on A Better Place, and he did some background
wow.
vocals with two of them. And it was a project that took me about 4.5 years to finish it. But we went in the studio.
Wow, that is crazy. Yeah, I was listening
yeah.
to the harmonies because I harmonize with myself on. Now, when I record, I definitely do my own backgrounds. But when I perform, I do have a couple background singers. But, it was just impeccable. Like the harmonies were impeccable. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I said, I was thinking maybe you do your own vocals. You know, I was actually thinking that because I can actually, being a musician, I can hear whether I hear other voices or other, you know, tones or whatever, but I knew this was all you. So that is really amazing. So Joe, how many instruments do you play, honestly?
I play all keyboards. I can fumble around with drums a little bit, bass guitar a little bit, and a little bit of saxophone. Trumpet was my first instrument. When I played in New York with the band in New York, I played trumpet. And I lost my lip years ago. You know, trumpet, you have to develop a trumpeter's lip. And I lost my lip
mm-hmm.
years ago. It was my first instrument. And while we were touring in New York, I'd fumble with the piano. I've always played old Boogie Woogie piano, and Jerry Lee Lewis was my piano idol. And Ray Charles, when
wow.
I was at St. Paul, my line name for Omega Psi Phi was Dog Ray Charles. So we had a little singing group, and I used to sing all of the Ray Charles music, you know. And I still do a tribute to Ray Charles on my live shows. I'm a Charles fanatic. And even on the track show, I do Georgia On My Mind and I Can't Stop
oh.
Loving You. Yeah, and
I would love to hear that live.
Sounds just like the Ray Charles Orchestra. It is so full and so big. When I perform it, people look around like, where in the heck is the band? And the band is coming out
wow.
those behind me. And I put my shows together before I go out to do them. I put the shows together, and I use a CD player with a remote control, and I don't have to be responsible for nobody but myself because I use my
right,
equipment.
Right, right.
When I do that, and I just enjoy doing what I do. Once a year, I go down to Mississippi to do a blues festival down in Meridian and Jackson, Mississippi. And I play with Bobby Rush, Jesse Robinson, King Williams, and all of the old blues greats down in Jackson, Mississippi. I play with all of them. And I'm going to send you a copy of the CD. And I want you to inbox your mailing address on my Facebook account, and I'm going to send you a copy of the CD. And one of the songs is Going Down to Jackson. I wrote the song about Jackson, Mississippi. And I took
wow.
the Malico,
oh, my goodness.
I took the Malico Records catalog, and I pulled the artist out and set it to music. I want to help Eddie Floyd sing Knock on Wood. I'd sing Groove Me Baby if King Floyd said I could. I want to hear Dorothy Moore sing Misty Blue. I got my ticket. I don't know.
But have mercy.
Yeah. I think
Woo! You just gave me chill bumps for a second now. Oh, I would, Lord have mercy. You know, now I'm glad you just said that. You and I have to do a duet, me singing Misty Blue. I'm telling you, I could sing that song.
All right.
Yes.
Yes,
believe the queen can sing that song.
Yeah. And I have a girl that sings with me, and we do a rendition of Nothing Compares to You by Prince.
Okay.
Man, we make the Hester.
Yeah, I remember that song because I think he remade it by, he remade it. I can't remember who the original version was.
I thought it was a Prince song, but Rosa Gaines sings it.
Uh-uh, no.
Okay, and I also do Always Atlantic Star. Old Ella James Harvey Fuqua song called If I Can't Have You.
You have to let me do it. Wait a minute. Hold up. Stop right there. You got to let me do Always one time with you. Because I can sing, I will love you so for always. Hey, I can get that Bob Weathers verse now. Come on now. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Joe, I tell you, you have really blown me away. And let me just tell you real quick. Our CEO wife, she is listening right now, and she's tuning in, and she is just blown away. She's texting me. If you're on Facebook, she's Facebooking. She loved the show, and she loved your music. I just got a text, so I had to just tell you that real quick. I had to tell you that. I mean, I don't just get blues singers on my show because people act like they're so scared to edit their music and send it in, especially being from my home. I'm just like, I'm telling you, I'm so happy. I'm not even going to be able to sleep tonight because I'm just like a little kid right now. I'm a kid in a blues world full of, blues candy. I'm telling you, I'm serious with a heart attack. Wow. Joe, when are you coming to Atlanta?
October 25th.
Ooh, let me write that down right now. Okay, October 25th. Now, you're going to be at, like, the amphitheater, or you have a private show booked, or what you got going on?
No, I'm coming to my board of directors meeting, my National Funeral Directors Board of Directors meeting. And
Okay. We'll
be at, we used to be at the Hilton Airport, but I think we're going to be somewhere else. I'll let you know exactly where the hotel is, but
okay.
I'll be in Atlanta. I go to meetings during the daytime. At night, my nights are free. Nights belong to me. And sometimes
I
want to
get a performance out of you.
I
want to get a performance out of you when you come down here. That's what I'm talking about. I want to chill out with you now, but I also want to get some music. I want to see you on stage, man. I mean, Atlanta, it's so many places around here. You know that.
I'm on stage everywhere I go. I go to Little Rock. We went to a meeting in Little Rock, and I walked in the club, and the keyboardist said, "We got a special guest in here tonight." I never looked up at him. He said, "It's Joseph Benjamin Franklin Cutchins Jr. from Franklinton, North Carolina." And I said, "Who the hell does this know all of my names?" He remembered me from a Roy C. back in the 70s because they introduced me using that name. And when somebody told him that Joe Cutchins was in the club, he said, "Man, I never forgot all of that name." And we rocked that club in Little Rock. And I'm going back to Little Rock next year in April, and he's going to play behind me for a concert down there.
Lord have mercy. All this talent in North Carolina. And then that's what, it makes me so mad when I say I'm from North Carolina, the first thing people think, sports. When they say we got dirt roads, we got more than dirt roads and sports figures. We got a lot of music. Believe me, it's a lot of talent. Even in our small little area, in the Triangle area alone, we have so much talent. And I'm telling you, I tell you, my heart is so full right now because I did something. I stepped outside of the box and did something that I really, truly felt, that I really wanted to do and really needed to do. And let me tell you, I'm going to be playing this music forever. until at least until I get tired of it, which I probably won't get tired of it, Joe. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, I mean, your music is going to be in heavy rotation. But I actually got a surprise for you. I think there's somebody on the line that might be relation to you. Let's check this out. Hold on a second here. 919, who we got on the line? You are tuned into the Emphatic Show on Lawless. 395, who we got on the line?
This is Brian Spann. Hope everybody's doing good. This is your nephew, Uncle.
Hey, Brian.
What's going on, man?
It's a family reunion.
I just texted him and told him I was on the air with you.
Yes. I've been behind your back while you telling me all this extraordinary stuff. I've been up here Facebooking your nephew.
Yeah, he's
got a church. What's up, Brian? Welcome to the Emphatic Show. This is your first time calling, so welcome. Definitely welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. I'm a big fan of yours anyway. I catch you online. And I'm definitely a big fan of Joe B. Cutchins. I grew up on that man. I mean, I learned my music style from him. Everything about the music business I learned it from him.
Well, I figured that. And you know, that's funny because I was going to call you and ask you tonight, why the heck you didn't tell me all this stuff? I mean, he hadn't told me his history, you know, his musical history, and I'm blown away. I'm sitting up here. I'm still blown away. My eyes are like 2 50-cent pieces. I can't even sleep because I'm just excited, and I'm going to go back and listen to the music again like I've been doing all week long. I tell you, I did not even know, had no clue. And I was going to ask you, I know, Brian, you can sing, you know, you got a voice on you, and I was going to ask you, you know, did Uncle teach Nephew to sing? And I don't you play the keyboard too, Brian?
Oh, let me tell you something. He had a big influence on my life because one thing about it, my uncle didn't believe in having lazy people in the house. So, you know, I was about 8, 9 years old. You know, I just wanted to hang around the house. He said, boy, look, you're going to just be sitting around the house. You're going to get in this choir, and you're going to learn how to do, you're going to learn music. So, you know, he was playing for Pope's Chapel, and he basically put me in the choir. I was like, man, I don't want to be in no choir. But let me tell you something. Being in that choir taught me so much because we would practice. He would literally tell us, I don't care what you claim you're going to do on Saturday night. You're not going to come up in God's house on Sunday giving him half stuff. So we got to stay here for 5 and 6 hours until you get it right. You're going to get it right. Now, I remember rehearsal starting at 5 and some days not getting out to 10 o'clock. You know, he was a perfectionist. That's just the way it was. And to be honest with you, that's the way I do my music. And I learned it all from him. I remember days, you know, going to concerts with him, and I'm lugging that equipment with him, and I'm standing next to the keyboard watching him play. I mean, literally, you know, all of my musical influence came from Uncle Joe. And, I mean, our whole family is full of musicians. But I hung around him more than everybody else, and that's where I got it from.
Wow. And y'all, I have to tell you something real quick. You know, this is Joe's nephew Brian. He is a pastor. You know, he's been a minister since before he was 20 years old, before he graduated high school. And his mother was a famous singer as well, Gwendolyn Spann, who passed away. I believe you said it was 73 or 74, around the time I was born.
Yeah, 74, April 1st.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes. So I mean, music. Mhm. Yeah. So music is in the Cutchins family, y'all. I mean, not just dead bodies. They don't just have dead bodies on them. They have a plethora of musical talent. I tell you, I love every minute of it. Well, Lord have mercy. I tell you, I'm just sitting up here like, wow. I am really like a little kid right now. I have to tell you, Joe. You really made my night. I gotta tell you. Gotta tell you. Y'all, Brian, you stick around. We have a few minutes left in the show. Okay, now, Joe and Brian, you put some cotton balls in your ear because I have a
look,
game.
Just before I knew, I got to let out a little secret. When I was a little boy, Uncle Joe came to the house one day, had on his jeans suit. And when he left the house, Dance Fever came on. And I always watched that on Friday nights. And I saw this group get up there, and they were singing, "You Can't Keep Running In and Out of My Life." I said, "Mom, Uncle Joe on TV." I said, She's still one of her job doing on TV. She said he just left the house. It was Charlie Wilson in the Gap Band. I thought my uncle was Charlie Wilson.
Yeah,
but they looked just like
one of my favorites.
Wore the same jeans too, the whole
and out of my life.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that song. That's what's up. Well, Brian, real quick, you got some shout-outs?
Yeah, I do have some shout-outs. Got a shout-out to number one, to my Uncle Joe, because, you know, like I said, I'm one of his biggest fans. I look up to him. You know, shout out to my family, my son Nubian Span, the backboard breaker, because he's getting ready to go to prep school in Marietta, Georgia, starting in 2 weeks.
That's right.
So, Marietta, I'm head down your way to handle it, Prep Academy. Want to shout out to my cousin Trey, because, you know, he's the one that's basically carrying the mantle of the funeral home business. I'm proud of him. Shout out to my son BJ Span, who's on the drums, my daughter Brianna graduating next year, to all my
wow.
classmates, fam. And also, Lawless Rick.
I'm thinking about your kids and thinking about all the accomplishments with, you know, BJ on the drums doing his thing and Newbie. I talked to Newbie for about 2 hours last night. And, you know, y'all, let me tell you, I got to tell you one other thing. Brian's son, Newbie, I don't know if y'all remember, if you listen to or you look at ESPN, he was the top, he was number one in the top 10 of the week. At the time he was in high school, and he plays basketball, and he went up for a dunk and broke the backboard, and they call him the rim wrecker. My little nephew, the rim wrecker. So, yeah, see, he will be moving down here to Georgia very soon, and I can't wait. And, you know, I got some contacts for him to get into some things, so he and I are going to talk probably, if not tonight, tomorrow, so I just got to let you know that. But, I mean, the talent is all up and through that family, y'all, I got to tell you. Well, Brian, you stay right there, and like I said, you hold your ears, because Mr. Cutchins got to play this game, because nobody.
Don't forget. Shout out to Rick Flo in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, that's what's up. Y'all heard that. Rick Flo, you heard that. All right, well, listen. Okay, nobody comes to the Emphatic Show without playing the Emphatic Game. And guess what? It's just some questions. It's about six questions I'm going to ask you. You get no lifelines, and you get to skip a question. You got to answer every question. Are you game, Mr. Cutchins?
I'm game.
All right, let's go. All right, first question. Now, this is a choice question. Do you prefer T-bone steak or New York strip?
T-bone,
all right. Mercedes, Benz, Audi, or Porsche Panamera?
Mercedes, Benz.
All right. Mashed potatoes or rice?
Brown rice.
Brown rice, okay. Well, that's still rice, so that's the answer, okay. Franklinton or Atlanta?
Franklinton, by all means.
okay. Bobby Womack or Miles Davis?
Bobby Womack.
Okay. Magnums or Trojans?
Ah, Magnum.
Remember, you can't skip no question.
That's right.
You said Magnum?
Magnum, yeah, Magnum.
Okay. And last question. Pam Grier or Jane Kennedy?
Pam Grier.
All right. Well, hey, he played the game. He didn't skip no questions. He answered them all. He was a good sport. And for doing that, guess what you get to do? Guess what your prize is?
What?
You get to come back to the Emphatic Show as much as you like.
Oh, I am so flattered.
That's what's up.
All in and listen.
That's what's up. Well, y'all, we're coming to the end of this show. And let me just say, you know what? I'm going to have to be biased at this point. Y'all, this is my favorite show since I've been doing the show, you know, for a year and some change as far as Lawless Radio. But as far as Emphatic Show, my own show, since June. And this, by far, has been my favorite show, not because my guest is from my home, not because of that, but because of just the music and just all this musical knowledge and background and, you know, just the whole ambiance, you know, of the show. It's just, and the aura of the show. I'm really enjoying it. And every last one of my shows have been very good, you know, but this is by far my favorite. So I appreciate you coming through, showing your love, Joe, and, you know, not only showing your love, you blessed us with some great music. You know, it ain't all about us playing rap. It ain't all about R&B. It's not all about that nowadays music. It's about all music. Like I said, I'll play some country music if you bring it up in here. Yeah, I'll play some bluegrass. I'll play some early jazz. If you have some stuff that sounds like Jelly Roll Morton or Fats Waller, hey, I'm going to play it because that's my type of stuff anyway. I have an old soul, so definitely I appreciate you coming through, Joe. I can't thank you enough, and definitely you're welcome to come back, and hopefully, and I'm going to make it my, no, you know, hopefully, I'm going to make it my business when you come on October 25th. We definitely going to link up, and hopefully I can see you perform somewhere soon. If you come back to Mississippi, it's not far away from Georgia, so I can definitely, you let me know, keep me posted, and, you know, hopefully I'll be getting my CD in the mail soon, autographed. I want it autographed, and I want your John Hancock, you know, scribbly, scrabbly, I want it all. So, and thank you for the Holding Twins. If they're still there listening, I appreciate it. I mean, it's been a long time, you know, definitely. And my brother, I'm sure he misses y'all. So, you know, we have some great memories as children. So definitely that this has really made my night. So on that note, Mr. Cousins, do you have any shout-outs?
I just shout-out to everybody. I just love life and living and everybody. Shout-out to Franklin to North Carolina. And I'm just so thrilled that there's somebody from Franklinton, North Carolina, that's doing exceptionally well for herself. And the key word was, I wanted to do it for myself and not what somebody else wanted you to do. I'm going to inbox me your mailing address tonight, and I will mail
Absolutely.
You that CD tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Then you can hear the rest of the story. My shout-outs are just to the people who are listening, to say thank you to everyone for allowing me to share me with you. At this stage of the game in my life, every day is a blessed day. And I love living and love people, and thank you so much, Queen, for allowing me to share myself with you. I have been overjoyed tonight, and this has been a real blessing to me.
Absolutely. Thank you. No doubt. And, you know, you're welcome back at any time. And hopefully in the next couple months, you got some more music for me. Maybe if I listen to something on that CD and I'm going to, you know, make you come back in here and, look, talk about that. What were you thinking when you wrote that and when you recorded that? So, you know, definitely you are family now. And, you know, I definitely thank you, Brian, for, I know you're still on. I thank you for calling in. And, you know, shout out to your kids, all three of them, BJ, Newbie, and Brianna, doing their thing. I mean, I'm just so happy for you. Well, y'all, we have approached the end of this show, and I can't believe it because I could have gone on forever, but we do have a time limit here, and, you know, I'm one of the only other guests besides the CEO that have a two-hour spot, so I'm grateful to have that, and I try not to abuse my, you know, a little authority here and a little power, so to speak. So, y'all, definitely I got some shout-outs of my own. We are Lawless Entertainment. We are Lawless Radio. And, y'all, I mean, you got to check out Lawless Entertainment Magazine. The August issue is out right now. It is on, you know, it's online. It's available to you. All you have to do is log on to www.LLEMAG, which stands for Lawless Entertainment Magazine. Our August issue was all about music. And our CEO wife, that was her idea, and it made for a beautiful issue. It was called Music Fever. So definitely y'all have to check out my column called M, the Queen's View. So definitely that, and check out, I do two articles actually, so definitely check out that. Again, that's www.llmag.com. And on another note, y'all, I'm telling you, y'all got to get your music in here. People keep inboxing me, spamming me, and all this stuff, whether it's on Facebook, you know, on Twitter, or even on LinkedIn, people are spamming me, which is cool. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that you look at me as someone that, you know, you need to reach out to, you know, to get your music played, or to even listen to your music. But I can do you one better than that. I can play your music. All you have to do is get off your lazy asses and get your music edited and send it to music@lawlessradio.com. You know, yeah, these people in North Carolina, especially back home, I know a lot of y'all are talented out there. I can name somebody. I can name at least five off the top of my head. But the fact that you ain't sending me your music, I can't play you, so you can't be salty at me. You know, I'm trying to do you a favor here. It ain't even all about doing you a favor. I'm trying to help you. You know, it's not about favors. It's about helping you because I see the talent and the potential in you. So you need to edit your music, or if you don't know how to edit it, get your engineer, producer, but get it edited. And for people that don't know who editing is, and some people don't know, because people have asked me, what do you mean by editing? Well, how do you do it? It means cutting your music down to a certain time, you know, less than 5 minutes, because we're not in a disco era where, you know, we're going on and on and on, 17 minutes of a song. And also taking out words that should not be for radio, for prime time. You have to remember, I'm still prime time, and there's kids that are still listening to my music, I mean, to my show, and hopefully their parents are sitting right beside them listening as well. So, you know, growing my fan base and growing my brand, so that's it's all gravy. But send your music, edited music, to music@lawlessradio.com, and I will play you, no doubt, because that's what we do. We support our local come up, and we want you to do the same. Support your local come up, underground, unsigned, independent artist. And yo, at the end of the day, I am an artist myself. I am Mary, and I am M, the queen, not only the queen of Emphatic and Lawless Radio, but I am the queen of Afro pop. If you want to check out M, the queen of Afro pop music, I want you to log on to my Reverb page, which is /. M-E, which is spelled E-M-E-E. They wouldn't let me change it because somebody else stole my name. You know, it is what it is. Also, I'm on SoundCloud, /, E-M-E-Q-O-A-P. Y'all know that stands for, I'm sorry, E-M-M-Q-O-A-P. That stands for M, Queen of Afro Pop. If you want to become my supporter, I hate the word fan, but if you want to become an emphatic, support my music. Just click the like button on my Facebook page, which is Facebook/ M-E, Queen of Afro Pop. It's spelled out. Also, if you want to tweet me, if you want to tweet me on Twitter, go to my Twitter page. I'm at Queen of Afro Pop in all caps, because y'all know I do everything big and I shout it out. And if you want to put a name to a host and you want to see my beautiful cheekbones and my nice thighs, well, anyway, I'm just kidding. IG me. For you squares and you lames don't know what IG is, that is Instagram. You can Instagram me at M_QueenOfAfroPop in all caps. Y'all, once again, we come to the end of this show. It's Emphatic, Lawless Radio, every single Wednesday night from 8 to 10. Make sure you tune in next week. I have a guest next week. I'm not really sure who it's going to be because it's kind of a toss-up. You know, it's two people, actually more than that, just vying for this slot right here. So I gotta make a judgment soon. So I'll definitely be announcing that on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and all that. So, y'all, we have truly come to the end. This is it. Thank you for tuning in. This is Emphatic on LawlessRadio.com, and I'm about to take y'all out of here with some Take 'Em Back with my boy, my homeboy representing B-More. For you squares and lames that don't know what B-More is, that is Baltimore. Baltimore, that's how they say it, Baltimore, but it's Baltimore. All right, Take 'Em Back, y'all, and it's Lawless Emphatic. Peace.
Mantra, yeah, Cynical. Prophet with logic, y'all know that God is with me. When I am vibing, you others jiving is non-existent. Spit the passion over classics when crapping half of the map a shift. From this vocabulary, I'm not your average kid. I'm from the block with them 90s puffing that greenery. Full of busting all through your body, changing your scenery. Too smooth like flossing with thick jewels. Been ruled ever since Ice Cube was running with Eazy-E. I killed them non-believers in them coliseums. Williams, let they mama see him in the mausoleum. I'ma lead ya. The fly crew, live and I provide you the rhyme too. Party banging, I'ma slide through like a visa. Diva, how I explain it, home of the ravens. Embracing the flame of dead on the pavement is how I leave ya. Good, bring it, the essence from dope slinging. I rep it with those bangers, no question, I come to see ya. No disrespect, but we tired of you same old. Stopping me, I don't think so. Take a back light. Exercising the realest and death defying. Flooding my neck with diamonds to bless like I stepped with Gandhi. Some others recognize me, my records is jeopardizing. Impressed with the message rhyming, your posse's a bunch of zombies. I got the hood behind me, my homies is quick to snatch you. To visit and blitz you, leave you twisted like a triple axle. Got the emphasis, you have witnessed the infamous. Spinning lava to fire you, it's hotter, change up your temperature. Y'all know Seneca's deeper than Machiavelli. Adversary, smoke them like Buddha and zigzag the Phillies. Sack a half a milli whenever I pack a building. Fading them haters that's frontin', they know they had to feel me and hear me to capture like directors with the actors filming. They happen, it's all yapping, I just grab them and smack them silly. Rather be humble driven than be on the road to riches, selling out just to get paper. Take them back like take them back like niggas that smoke off the ways of liquor, then gripping the razor pistol. I'm flipping the way I give you the streets and it stays official. My people, they play position, wait for the signal that I give them, let the razors flitch ya. We not suburbians, we coming out of murderland, swerving to burn a man. He deserved to cut off his other hand. Homies is hustling, shuffling to the customers. Cops rushing these brothers and snitches is trying to turn them in. Some type of cat, you find them bleeding, aiming gats like they quarterbacks. Have them catch up borders like they ride receivers. Take them back like Jerusalem, times of Jesus. For the bottle popping, body rocking, dimes and divas. Like the kingpin with Prada, got supply the region. On these streets, never sleep, that's a sign of weakness. People heard me say I'm lacing the track. It's all factual, something natural. Take them back like